You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Mirror man, mirror man, you twist and turn my mind until I don't know who I am.
Good morning and welcome to a new edition of the Arsenal Opinion Podcast. Agenda FC died out on the pitch today. Our season is over. We put in the worst performance of the season, of the last two seasons. It's disappointing. We're angry. There are a lot of people on the live feed wanting to express an opinion, and we're here for it today. There's going to be blood on the floor. So if you are of a squeamish disposition, then I would recommend that you exit the room right now. Okay, no fluff today, guys. Johnny Cochran, you've been sitting here for a while looking very pained. Hit us with the hottest of takes.
Yeah, so I'm not here to hold anyone's hand. I'm not here to, you know, make anyone feel better. The fact is I think we need to start having some tough conversations about where we are. Are we, you know, in an absolute clusterfuck that we can't get out of as a club? No, I don't think we are. I definitely think there have been improvements this season, but there, you know, there is blood in the water, and let's dig a little deeper and see who's bleeding. First of all, I don't want to see Nicolas Pepe at the club anymore. I'll take a tenner at this point. Get him out the club. He's a fucking embarrassment. Touch like the park railings, bouncing off him all the time. What a despicable performance to come on and give. How dare you do that? I'm sick of the guy sulking. He looks like he's in a day. Does he smoke a little J before he gets on the field? Just always like out of it. Get it together. In fact, I don't care if you don't get it together. Just get out of the club now. You're done. It's the biggest waste of money we've ever seen at the club. Most expensive signing. Absolute dog shit. Don't want to see you. Nuno Tavares, you've been here 1 year. Pack your bags, mate. Pack your bags, clear your locker out. You're done. Fucking can't even do a throw-in at the top level. What is going on with these guys? I need to calm down a bit here. But seriously, Nuno, you know what I've been with. You know what I've been like with the guy. I've been on that roller coaster with him, and I've even been promoting him at times. Like,
you gave him a cute name, Lord of Chaos.
Lord of Chaos, and that is great and stuff, but you're going to have to bring your chaos somewhere else, mate, because you're not ready for this level of football. If you can't do a throw-in to the adequate levels that the Premier League is required, you should not be playing for us. He's basically, you know, of course, there are loads of opportunities to break up the play on the way to them scoring their first goal, but ultimately, when we were just starting to get a bit of momentum, for you to fail on one of the most fundamental features of football is disgusting. And I find it absolutely abhorrent when football players cannot do a correct throw-in. It just boggles. Anyway, there's the players that are getting it firstly. Now we need to talk about Arteta, okay? And I know this is all bundled up in a hot take, which is quite long, but I didn't want to go too serious on him after the Tottenham game. That was a bullshit way that we set up in the Tottenham game. I mean, this is not revisionism. I said it at the time. We should have been free at the back. They've got massive attacking talent. We should not have played into their hands. Rob Holding up against Son. What are you doing, mate? There is an issue in terms of at your base level, in terms of how you're reading the game. If you think that's a sound setup, it's appalling. And so they've immediately put us on the back foot. He has immediately put us on the back foot in that game. And obviously, apart from the fact that it was a really poor refereeing decision around the penalty, we were kind of set up to lose, as far as I'm concerned. We were never putting our best foot forward. But when it comes to this game, what I'm saying, you know, loads of people can be, oh, you're being a bit, you know, heat of the moment, it's knee-jerk. What's not knee-jerk is my biggest takeaway from this overall. We should have strengthened, as I said at the time, in January. This, make no bones about it, this is not just missing out on Champions League this year. This might not go our way. We have some promising youngsters, but the simple facts of the matter are they're going to be playing Thursday, Sundays next year. And when that happens, we can start tumbling back down the league and maybe we finish sixth next year or seventh. We had an amazing opportunity to do it this year. And not only for Arsenal to take that massive step forward, but to also put Spurs backwards, to put them into a bit of a spiral. And, you know, we could have asserted ourselves and set ourselves up perfectly for the next 10 years or so. Now it feels like we're scrambling. We're going to be in there with Man United just trying to get our heads back above water. And Newcastle are going to heavily invest. And at the end of the day, for all those people who go, oh, we shouldn't have spent money in January, have a look at how much the average to good players are going to cost now that Newcastle are in there. Because they're going to want to buy some of the players that Arsenal want, and they're going to chuck money at it. It's going to be much harder for us to get the players we want and to make that next to take that next step forward. And I've got to say, I think Arteta deserves as much of the blame as anything. He signed a new contract. But listen, he, you know, at the end of the day, there are some shoots of encouragement for sure. But you're going into next year not far off the same way you came into this year. If you don't improve us, you're out the door. I'm so disappointed with how we've been set up to play these games and the way that we've asserted ourselves today. It's just dog shit, and I don't accept it.
Man like Matt Candela, I don't know how it can get much worse to tee up a hottest of takes. Like, what is your hot of take? What can you add to that laundry list?
My first hot take is we've actually got a couple of Tottenham fans in the comments, and I was just thinking, especially with Kevin and Dee, imagine being so pathetic that you've got nothing better to do than go on an Arsenal vlog after the game. I mean, I would be out celebrating, having a couple of beers with my friends, but this is what I said. Different breed, probably got fuck all to do. So they'll go and listen to us and look at us. So
hey, this is a good,
that's my first point.
This is a good podcast. Like, let's not critique. We're for everybody.
No, I'll ignore them. But look, shitty end to the season. Would have loved to have gone out with a bang. Very little to be positive about. Very little to be proud of in that performance. Very little to be, when you look back on the last few games, it's been a bit abject, to be honest. So sort of a sad end to a promising season. I don't want to go overboard because, you know, after watching that, it's very easy to go overboard and start just thinking that everything is terrible and all of that. But that is not the way that you play a crucial deciding game. It's just not. And I don't know. It's not just about the quality of the players on board. It's like, this is your FA Cup final. It is. And to see them come out and line up like that with no belief, that for me is worrying. I think we just ran out of steam, and I think that fifth is probably the right place for us to be in hindsight. Not very fun to say that, not very nice to say it, and I don't really like the revisionism of it, because we said that fourth is the result that we want. So to now say fifth is fine it's not what I'm saying. It's when you see the performances, you see the squad and all of that. But I think there are questions to be asked, because we've all been very pro Arteta. I think we are still generally pro Arteta. But there's a few things that scared me today. The first one is Eddie Howe has made much more significant progress with Newcastle in a shorter period of time than Arteta has. And I know everyone's going to say different job, different kettle of fish. Well, he spent 100 million, but Arteta spent 150 million last year. And he's managed to take them from basically bottom of the league to, you know, a top half team. We are making progress. That much is not in doubt. My concern is it's slow progress. It really is. And I'm worried because next season is going to be way harder for us. This was a moment in time. This was a chance. United are going to be stronger. Newcastle are going to be up there. This might be the last season we finish above Newcastle in a long time. And there's just major problems all over the pitch. You know, Smith Rowe wears the number 10 shirt for Arsenal. He looked like a reserve team player. Looked like a youth team player today. You know, number 10 at Arsenal. And you know me, I love Smith Rowe. But yeah, I think we're going to have to let the dust settle and see what happens. But not good. Not good.
Yeah, look, I always try and look for a positive after a game today. There aren't many positives. I don't think some of the it's a disaster for us long term. I don't agree with that. I actually think if you're gonna go out of the Champions League, going out like that is probably best for the future of the club because it means that we are gonna end careers this summer. There are gonna be some deals that are perhaps yanked off of the table. There are gonna be aggressive moves to push out okay players that just didn't show up. Today, that's probably the only positive I can take. The biggest disappointment is we didn't go into the Spurs game with the right mentality, and we didn't go into a game against Newcastle. Listen, we can talk about how amazing Eddie Howe has been. He's done the job Arteta did last season. They're the half season table merchants, but still, like, there is no excuse. You know, we've had a good half season as well, points wise, and we should have gone there and at least. We should have gone there and at least played. Like, there was fear in the system. There was a meekness that we never recovered from. We couldn't deal with Newcastle's press, which felt like an absolute basic. And it wasn't even... I'm not even really looking at just reserve team players here. I'm looking at Aaron Ramsdale. Absolute cowardice from him. He made an early mistake and he never recovered. I'm looking at Ben White, ball-playing centre-back. Absolutely fearful. Didn't, you know, people talk about Granit Xhaka and Mo Elneny. The ball didn't come through to them most of the game. I'm looking at Gabriel, who has been an absolute disaster for 4 or 5 months. Those are key players. Those are key, those are key signings from Mikel Arteta. I don't think this is necessarily a reserve team issue. Martin Ødegaard, where were you? The captain of Norway, future captain of Arsenal, and he absolutely disappeared. He looked like he was sick. He played so badly. Looked like he'd had some of that Spurs lasagna from a few years ago. So, big concern for me was, like, what was Arteta telling the team before the game? And I know that it's difficult to motivate players that are inexperienced, but that wasn't even an effort out there today. And then, you know, like the agenda of should we or shouldn't have we added in January? Well, listen, the ball is now in Johnny's court because we haven't made top four. We've missed out by an absolute fraction. And, Bruno absolutely slapped me in the face scoring the winning goal. It was poetic. We knew it was going to happen. But he looked like a real difference maker out there today. And sadly, we didn't have anybody to drive ourselves forward. So I don't think that there is, every season we say, oh, you know, everybody's going to recruit. Everybody's going to be amazing next season. We're going to drop right back down the table. We're still in a good position. There are still some things that we haven't had this season. Like, don't drive into this is an end of days project thing. This is more a concern of the now. And we haven't been good enough, but we got fifth place. We're in the Europa. We hit target. But it's just so devastating that if you'd said to anybody at the start of the season, it's Newcastle and Everton, and then you're in the Champions League, I'd have bitten your arm off and thought we could do it. And today we went out there, and after 10 minutes, you knew we were going to fail. And that's not good enough, and we really need to kick on from there. So let's move into the bottle job performance. Like, what did Arteta say to these players before the game? Because That was not a fearsome performance. That didn't look brave. That looked like everybody was scared. That looked like the atmosphere got on top of these young players. Like, what did Arteta tell them? Is this inexperience? Is this players just losing their bottle? Or is this a tactical misstep out there? Matt, I'm going to go to you on this one.
I think it was confidence. But I also think it was a bit of the setup. Look, the main thing that we saw in the first half was that Newcastle thought correctly that if they pressed us, we wouldn't know what to do. And I don't think I haven't seen anyone press us that far up the pitch so well in a long time. They did it brilliantly. When Ramsdale had the ball, they had men on our centre halves who were about to receive it. So Ramsdale had to go long. And what we needed to do was get the ball and then beat the press. And the one moment that we did that in the first half, Granit Xhaka did it and Saka nearly scored. Because that's what you've got to do. When you're being pressed like that, you've got to face the press and you've got to beat the press. You can't just start knocking it long. Because when you knocked it long, it was just Eddie Nketiah, bless him, is not the guy to take a 60-yard ball on his chest and lay it off to somebody 2 yards away. That's just not his game. It's not Lacazette's game. It's not anyone we've got game. We don't have that output. So it was definitely confidence. I think Thursday played into it. You know, everyone knew they couldn't afford to get sent off. We looked, you know, tetchy from the start. And I think, yeah, you can't play the way that Arteta wants us to play when your confidence is low. He wants you to play with a high line. I mean, how many times did Wilson nearly get in the first 20 minutes? 4 times? 3 times? He was just on that corner.
How many corners did they have? Must have been about 56.
Oh my God. So, yeah, it was just, you know, the whole point of youth is that they're not supposed to be scared. They're supposed to be naive. You know, that's my take on it. Anyway, that's the whole point. We're trying to change the culture. So you try and beat the press because you think you can do it and you get caught. That's what you expect it to be. What we didn't expect it to be is just so reserved, so in ourselves. And I think there was no belief in the system that we were ever going to get this result. The Tottenham game just destroyed it. But again, it's the same thing we've seen multiple times this season. Lose one, lose two or three. Lose one, mini crisis. And the problem with it is that Arsenal fans are like elephants. They don't forget. And so, you know, we might win the last game of the season, but if we have a dodgy couple of games, the first couple of games next season, everyone's going to remember this game. Everyone's going to remember the Spurs game. It's going to be 3 defeats in 4, 4 defeats in 5, 5 defeats in 7. And Arteta's under pressure again. So, yeah, just a lack of, I don't know what the problem was, and I think we'll wait and maybe we'll find out on the Amazon documentary, which now I'm less looking forward to. I don't want to watch it now.
Johnny Cochran, no. Cowardice. How does that show up in the players? Is that part of the squad? Is it inexperience, or is it Mikel Arteta saying some weird shit in the dressing room before the game that put the frighteners on them?
Yeah, you know, I think my launch off point would be what Max said there, which I'm in complete agreement with. With the young players that we have, it's meant to be naivety that costs us, not fear. Because why have you got fear? The overall most exciting thing for me as an Arsenal fan with regards to this current project was it seemed like we'd got rid of a lot of the damaged, you know, hurt, fragile mentality players who had previously let us down. And we were building around youth who, yeah, hadn't got the experience of, you know, hitting the heights of like top competition, but they also haven't got any, you know, scars from not making it. Now they have a scar, and it worries me because we've had far better teams than we've currently got now. And the only thing that stopped them really achieving big goals was a fragile mentality, which developed the likes of, you know, the teams under Wenger where you had your Fabregas and your Haleb and stuff, and you knew, even a much more talented team than we've currently got, but you knew by that point that after that Eduardo season, I would kind of pinpoint it as, the fragile mentality had crept into the club. It's like, you know, it rots the mentality. It's like, you know, mould on a tree. and it just keeps spreading. And what I was most excited about was that we were getting a clean slate with these guys. And as I say, now they've got some mileage on the clock because they had a crunch game where you've just got to step up. And let's face it, it's not like we're asking them to go to Barcelona or Real Madrid and get a result. This is Newcastle away. You know what I mean? And it's also not a cold Wednesday night in Burnley. It's Newcastle. It's actually quite nice weather, to be fair. Usually it's Arsenal,
lovely weather.
You know, you're not going to get a much better crack at things. And this is why I think it's really important for us to frame why this is such a significant loss. Because I can see there's even people in the comments, and there'll be lots of Arsenal fans who are like, you know, why are people so despondent? We've had a good season overall and all of that. Well, you know, they're entitled to their opinion. That's fair. You know, that's fair enough. And they maybe are a little bit more optimistic. But for me, it's the significance of the fact that we will never get a better chance of, you know, being freed from competition, other distractions. We went out the FA Cup early. We played less games than any of our rivals. This was our shot. And of course, at the start of the season, it would have been good if we got top four because we, you know, had a lot of players out there trying to prove themselves. But I've got to come back to it again. This is why it was such an open goal missed by not just backing the squad up. Because in these games where it starts getting leggy, you know, having players that are either starting from kickoff or coming off the bench who can add impetus and enthusiasm. I said this earlier to a friend of mine. Basically, he was talking about the fact that he didn't think Newcastle would be as up for it as they were because they had nothing to play for. And I said, the fact is just because a team hasn't got anything to play for doesn't actually mean anything. It's incumbent on the team that does have something to play for to play with such tenacity and drive and heart that you knock the enthusiasm out of the other team who don't have anything to play for. And once you knock that out of them, you basically have to make it like, we are going to go harder than you. And then people start thinking about their holidays in the summer. But if you let them play, Newcastle were not scared of Arsenal. Why would they be? We needed to go out there and knock the wind, knock the stuffing out of Newcastle early. And that has to be coming down to Arteta. Not getting, you know, I mean, I think individually a lot of the players have to take blame as well. It's not just Arteta by any stretch. Ødegaard, we've given lots of praise rightfully this year. I thought he was absolutely dreadful. One of his worst performances, if not the worst. Just went hiding, constantly losing the ball. Didn't do anything that he does usually well. Didn't play well at all today. And Saka, I do think that he's carrying a knock. He clearly looks injured to me, and as did a few of the players. But in the biggest moments, when the lights shine the brightest, you need your big players to step up. And it's not like we got sucker punched in the last minute with a shot goal. We couldn't even score. You know, you've got to be going into that game going, we've got to score at a bare minimum. We couldn't even get over the line. I think there is nowhere in this team that could not do with strengthening. Nowhere. And that, you know, is a bit sad, quite frankly.
Yeah, I think that we played like a young, inexperienced team today. There was fear in the system. I think the biggest complaint I have about Mikel Arteta is maybe we took the no Europe as an opportunity to play the same team every game, and they're not ready for that. I thought that, you know, Ødegaard is not a coward, but he played like one today. I think he looked burnt out. Saka is not a coward, but he's looked burned out for, you know, well before the Spurs games. Right. Yeah, I think that we've overplayed a lot of young players. And I think somebody made a really good point. Like when you don't rotate the squad and then you pick up injuries, you're quite easy to plan against because Eddie Howe didn't have a lot of what are they going to do? There was only one team that we could put out there today, really. And the question was whether you put the Lord of Chaos at left back, or whether you put Cedric out there, who's was absolutely diabolical today. I think that Arteta will have learned a lot about the squad. I think that there's a clear direction of where he needs to go in the summer. But my concern now is, and I hate to say it, but it's the Spursy mentality that I'm worried about. That when like the mold if it gets into a young team, does the rot set in early? And I really hope that that's not the case moving forward. And look, like, cut away the disappointment of the game today. We win our last game of the season. It's 69 points. That's a good haul. You know, that would have had us in third last season. But it's just so depressing that when you've got the two games that are absolutely teed up perfectly for you, you know, two middling teams, like even with Newcastle being a second half of the season table champion, like we're still better than them on our day. And we didn't make it count. And I think the squad rotation has been a big problem for Arteta. He's very transactional. I think that if he'd rotated some of those players that we saw today in earlier in the season, maybe Partey's fit, maybe Tierney's fit, maybe Tomiyasu isn't pulling up with a calf injury every other week. So super disappointing, but they will have learned a lot. We're still in Europe going into next season, but Arteta's got a big job to do this summer because we can't go in with a hangover. And if we do start badly next season, you're right. Arsenal fans are going to be right back on Arteta's back. He's not made it easy for himself. So I do want to move. I want to move into, you know, what does happen this summer. So let's play a fun game. Firstly, we're going to say which players are out this summer based on what we've seen over the last 4 months, because there are a lot of people that have been teetering on the edge of, oh, maybe they've changed. Johnny, I'm going to go to you. You get the first pick. We're going to do like a, it's like the draft that they do in America. So you get the first pick.
For players gone,
and give me a reason why.
Pepe, pack your bags, mate. I'm done with you. I don't want to see you in an Arsenal shirt again. Disgraceful today. And I mean, it's been happening for a while, but this is a guy who comes off the bench. He shows no heart, lily-livered, comes out there trying to do some stepovers. We've all seen it before, and just bumbles around. And honestly, the way he loses the ball, he's doing it in more creative ways. He's like an artistic director of being shit. He's flamboyant with it. I'm so disappointed. Like, I mean, we knew that he wasn't going to be worth 72 million, but for how badly it's gone, it is, you know, I mean, I don't know what's happening with Raul, whether he's got, you know, a court case to go to over this. Something went seriously awry with this signing. 72 million is shameful. And I just want the whole era to come to an end. Pack your bags, Pepe. The Pepe dog's broken up once and for all. I don't care if you're playing in fucking, you know, the second div in France. We'll take a tenner for you at this point. Absolutely shocking.
Johnny, as part of the draft trade agreement, who are you recommending? Which club do you think might come in with him? He's earning $140,000 a week. Which club do you think he should go to?
Well, you're talking about like teams like Mets or some ran or Young Boys. Like, you know, like it's got to be some fringe European outfit who, you know, you know what's going to happen anyway. We're going to be paying half of his wages next year. They won't be able to find a buyer. So we'll go, okay, Galatasaray, here you go. We're going to pay 60 grand a week to have Pepe no longer at the club, because that's only Arsenal can do that. Pay people to stay away because he's so poor. And I don't think we'll be able to get a suitable buyer because he's not anywhere near worth that amount of money in terms of wages, let alone, you know, anywhere near a transfer fee. So at the end of the day, how many clubs sign someone for 70 million and end up pretty much having to tear the contract up at the end of that player's tenure? It's an awful, awful football transfer that will go down in the annals of history, certainly in Arsenal history. Dreadful. As bad a signing as I could ever remember.
Candela, the who leaves draft, the second pick goes to you. Give us your name and where you think the player should go.
Well, I'm going to start on the strikers. Lacazette, got to go. Get him out. 180 grand. So, yeah, we need to get rid of him. To anyone who'll take him. Someone in France. Oh, young boys, old boys. Whatever the fuck they're called.
Any boys. Just any boys.
The boys.
Yeah.
The boys. Just the boys. He's done. I can't believe we were talking about a contract for him in January.
Who's
Eddie Nketiah.
Who's gonna take him?
The boys
down the park wouldn't take him.
Yeah, but we don't have to worry about that because he's out of contract. Good riddance.
All right.
Thanks for the memories. And then Eddie, because I'm gonna do these two.
Whoa!
Get him on a longer deal and then get him out on loan.
Oh, you dirt,
year
man.
At Crystal Palace. If Vieira wants to buy him, you can have him for a year on loan. Let's see whether you can decut it in the Premier League. And then we need two new strikers.
All right.
I thought Callum Wilson showed how to play centre forward today. Callum Wilson.
I think Callum Wilson's a good player. And I mean, he could have played at a much higher level if it wasn't for his injury issues. He certainly could have been a great player for Arsenal to be looking at. But the problem is, I guess, to kind of jump on that point, Matt, there are strikers out there. A lot of them that haven't been snapped up and who are not the elite, have issues that come with them. They might have history of injuries. They might be a bit of a character, a bit of a card, which Arteta has shown himself to not either want to work with or be able to work with somewhat. Like you're more likely to get Guendouzi-type temperaments in strikers. Good ones, anyway. Because guess what? They know they're the nuts. The good ones know that they're the nuts. That's the point. And they know that they win games. So you will have to manage egos, and he'll have to do it a lot better than he's done so far. But I do think that, you know, if you could find a Callum Wilson that would stay fit, he's definitely a step up on what we currently have at the club.
All right, I'm going to lean in with draft pick number 4 because Matt took 2 picks. Granit Xhaka. Granit Xhaka, we need to move this on. I feel like he's had a good season. I feel like he's at the peak of his powers. I think that Roma might go to the 20 million or the 25 million, but I think we need to end that Granit Xhaka chapter. I think we can find a younger model that can do the job that he needs to be. I think, although he's been very good this season, you've always got those mistakes in the mixer. And listen, there was a big question at the start of the season. Can we get to top 4 with Granit Xhaka in the side? The answer, no. So we need to move on. We need to sell him. We need to get some money. And after this year, you know, when he steps into becoming a 30-year-old, he becomes difficult to move on. I think that this is the perfect time to sell one of our better performers. What do you think?
Yeah, I'd go with that. Look, I'll be honest. He's not the number one name on my list. Obviously, I've already said number one name. But, you know, I'm going to offer both sides of it here. Like, I don't think Xhaka, after this season, has been the biggest issue at Arsenal. I don't think he is the reason that has cost us, per se. However, he is not the answer to where we want to go. He's just not. We know you're never going to be able to win a league with Granit Xhaka playing regular minutes. And I know we're miles off winning a league at the moment, but we have to still be aspiring to, you know, to bridge the gap to the top teams. And obviously the first checkpoint would be getting in the Champions League, but we have to have high aspirations here. But this is what I mean. And I just want to just quickly do this. I know we're overall doing a subject of the player outgoings draft, but I just want to double down on the point that for anyone who was saying that you won't get good value in January if you have bought anyone, there's no value to be had. Look how much the players are going to cost this summer when you look at the new rivals that we have. We're all going for the same players. Some of them won't even want to be coming to Arsenal because Europa League's Europa League. It's good, but it's not Champions League. We don't have that draw, and there'll be other teams who can simply offer them higher wages. So things are not going to be straightforward for us to going about getting the players that we necessarily want without the Champions League. We're going to have probably our best transfer window, you know, in recent memories if we want to get back on course, I think.
Transfer window is always going to be easier in the summer.
Yeah.
Always. Like, so I'm not too concerned about I'm not too concerned about getting players. I'm more concerned about selling them because they earn so much money. Johnny.
Wages aren't even that much now.
No, our wages are that we put Nicolas Pepe's on 140 grand a week. You know, like who's picking up that tab? But at least, you know, we've got players like Nuno Tavares. I mean, he's probably earning sub 40 grand a week. So you can move him on.
I mean, he should be fine for the throw-in.
You've got to look at the players that we own that are out on loan and say, could they could those players not have got us an extra 3 points this year? Because that's what we're talking about. It's 3 points. Could Torreira, Guendouzi, Aubameyang,
William Saliba has just been named one, Young Player of the Year in France.
Could they have not got us one more win? Just one player. Like, not saying all of them, but that feels like mismanagement by the club.
Did you just mute yourself?
Sorry, Pete.
I was just William Saliba played nearly 4,000 minutes worth of football. He's going to come back a much better player this year. I think the problem is that Arteta didn't recognise that he should have used his squad earlier in the season. I think we could have found 3 more points in the squad that we have if he just rotated. I mean, it's been bad squad management from Arteta this season.
Yeah, I mean, the Saliba one, I know every time I talk about him, some people are like, oh, Saliba, you're going on about him again. But of course, I think that even though we didn't have as many games as we might do in future years when we're back in Europe, I definitely think there was opportunities to have been blood in Saliba this year. And I think that considering the way things ended up with Ben White and Gabriel, who could honestly say that if Saliba had stayed this year, he wouldn't be our starting centre-half, first choice centre-half by now. Like,
Johnny,
there's nothing to say he couldn't.
100%. He's been outperforming. He would have outperformed Gabriel and Ben White. 100%. But here's the thing, though. If Saliba had stayed here all year, he wouldn't have got any minutes. I don't think he would, barely until the end of the season. I actually think that him proving himself in Marseille means that he has to be considered next season. I think he would have got the Eddie Nketiah treatment this year. Arteta only played Eddie when Lacazette got COVID, despite Lacazette not scoring any goals whatsoever. Mo Elneny only got a look-in in the side when we had massive injuries. If he'd realised that those players could have had an involvement earlier on in the season, we probably would have been 3 points better off by now, I suspect, without Thomas Partey nursing an injury.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I do believe that, to be honest, and this is where things can go awry again, I actually believe that the Saliba situation is one of the things that's most encouraging, because if I think about the players that we want to be signing in the summer, Saliba is a player who I believe will be able to take us to the next level. I actually think he is a step up on what we already have. And I think it's going to be a great breakout year for him if he comes in. And considering the way the season ended, considering, you know, of course, people can look at it as a net positive getting back in Europe and whatnot. But the fact is the way the season, you know, just acquiesced into this, you know, just goop by the end where we're just constantly not showing. I mean, don't get me wrong, we've had some great performances in the running, but the last few games have been really poor where we look, you know, we look battle weary. The legs have gone and the heart's gone, which is most concerning. So there will be players that look at the project and maybe with eyes where they're a little less interested in what they would be. And what I'm trying to say is to, you know, to lay the groundwork for the comment that if we were to be trying to sign a Saliba from brand new right now, we might find that a lot harder to do because of the way the season's ended. However, we actually have him. So as long as he returns, it is a clear improvement, as far as I'm concerned, on our centre-back roster, and I think that our defence has a great opportunity to improve next year, but it's the attacking options which worry me the most.
Yeah.
I think it's worth just tuning in to Granit Xhaka's points, because just hot off the press, you know, he's come out and said that was not good enough for Champions League, not even Europa League. We need players who have the balls to play in games like this. If someone isn't ready for the game, stay at home. Arsenal players didn't deserve to be on the pitch today. I mean,
can't disagree with a word of it.
Big talk.
We can't disagree
with a word of it. But what the fuck is the point of talking about this on 90 minutes in the post-match interview? Was there really nothing that could be said at halftime that would change things?
Yeah.
Do we believe that they got the hairdryer treatment at halftime? Was he saying that at halftime? Did he have someone up against the wall, TA style, and saying, you better change? Just more words, more empty words. It's depressing.
It is, but I do like the words. I like hearing it. I like, what I don't want to see is us succumb to, you know, a fate that I think all of us have had that sink. Most of us have had that sinking feeling, you know, over this weekend. Ever since the Spurs result, I was worried about this fixture. And I want to see the players at least aiming for better than this. And I don't think Xhaka has been the biggest problem over the recent weeks. I do think that overall he is not the answer, but he's calling certain players out, and I think that's right. They will know who they are in that
and
dressing room.
He said we didn't do what the game plan was, not listening to the coach, doing our own thing. What happened was a disaster performance.
Yeah. But it's also players not putting in proper shifts. I think there was a lack of awareness and a lack of ability to, you know, basically carry out Arteta's instructions. Because at times we look lost. We made a very poor Newcastle team, as far as I'm concerned, look very good and assured on the ball. And they were hounding us and not the other way around. Incredibly worrying. But overall, you know, I do think that I know it might just be kind of hollow words at this stage for some, but I like to hear at least someone dishing out a bollocking, because that's not good enough and we deserve better.
Wow. He said you can be 30 or 35, you can be 10 or you can be 18. If you're not ready and you're nervous, stay on the bench, stay at home. Don't come here. We need people to have balls.
And it was do you know what the turning point of the entire game is? And I know that this is, you know, this is stupid to say this. Aaron Ramsdale fluffing his lines early on, put him on the back foot, and then he made the rest of the defense nervous. And then there was no bravery from there. We didn't, like, if Aaron Ramsdale makes a great pass early on and breaks the line, the whole game opens up. But when he's nervous, he makes Ben White and Gabriel nervous, and then nothing moves forward. Nothing progresses. You can't break that. You can't break that press. And it was definitely a bravery thing out there today. And part of that is experience, and then part of you worries that that might be a part of some of those players' makeup. Aaron Ramsdale hasn't looked the same since February. Aaron Ramsdale looks like the goalkeeper we worried we'd signed, you know? And that's a big concern. He hasn't been able to pull himself out of this form rut. And I know that he's young, but there's quite a lot of players, to your point earlier, Johnny, there's quite a lot of players that we've only just purchased that need to have the fear of the bench next year. And William Saliba, the way he's played this season, he would have been a better option than both of our centre-backs last night. Certainly a better option than Rob Holding. So, and I actually think it's a really, really good point. If William Saliba had just done that, just played like that, Arsenal wouldn't have been able to afford him this season. Like, it's extremely lucky that the best centre-back in Europe is coming back into our mixer next season. And if you are William Saliba, you've got to fancy yourself. Don't do a Martinez and say, I'll go to a Leicester. Come back and say, I'm taking your place, Ben White. You're a coward.
Well, at the end of the day, it's not so much that... Basically, the only other thing that he might do is say, I'm not coming back to compete. I want to start. And, you know, some tough decisions would have to get made in that instance. Because whilst the centre-halves have been, you know, good for us this year, let's be honest about things. The way they've ended, they have been fully part of any collapse that we've seen. And I definitely, you know, want to double up on your comments, Pete, about Aaron Ramsdale. I think he's embodied the nervousness that has, you know, just ensued within the Arsenal makeup over the past, you know, certainly couple of weeks. Because, to be honest, you know, we thought we might have done enough after that Leeds result, but we've been scraping through. And we've been just about getting over the line. Eddie and Nketiah had to put in some amazing performances that no one saw coming. Like, this wasn't like we've been crushing teams all the way through and, you know, it was just all going our way. We've had to keep going and keep bouncing back. It's not all come easy, but that is why I'd hoped that we'd get over the line, because it would have meant so much to the team, to the fans. But now...
Well, I think that's also... Yeah.
Sorry, I was just going to say, but
I
now...
think the other problem...
Oh, go on, Matt. You go.
No, you go. You go.
Oh, yeah. So, basically, I was just going to say that, you know, overall, the idea that we've had the opportunities and kind of fluffed it, and then now there are certain players that we were so much more assured of earlier on in the season, we were like bargains. And then suddenly you're like, can we do better than you? People thought I was being very harsh when I even mentioned about potentially bringing Leno in for a game or two over Ramsdale. Now I think, why not? Why wouldn't you do it? Like, it doesn't really matter now. It's kind of, you know, jigs up. But overall, Leno doesn't offer as much with his distribution. No question. But Ramsdale has spread panic in the defence at times when you've got weak links like Cedric and Nuno Tavares playing. You need your week in, week out starters to offer confidence for those around them, not be, you know, a point of vulnerability.
It's a little bit, you know, when Hector Bellerin, when he was playing well, you could plant all the trees you wanted. You could talk about your mum making you a pair of trousers. Dominic Calvert-Lewin, when you're banging in goals like Pipo Inzaghi under Carlo Ancelotti, yeah, show up on the front cover of a magazine in a skirt. No one cares. And Aaron Ramsdale, when he's doing well, he's like on YouTube, he's playing golf, he's hanging out with Ben Foster. And it's like he believed a little bit too much of his own PR. And he's been very, very unfocused. And the best goalkeeping performance of this year was Bernd Leno at Aston Villa. And I believe that was the last clean sheet that we kept in the Premier League. Shocking. Like, we've conceded, our defensive record's gone off the rails this back end of the season.
Well, we've conceded 10 more goals than last year.
Yeah.
And we've invested in 50 million in a new centre half, 20 odd million in a right back. I know there's been injuries, but not good enough. And I think the other thing is there's no feel good factor now. But because it's if we'd gone to Spurs and lost 3-2 and then lost 3-2 tonight, different kettle of fish. It really is. Because you go, there's a lot to like. We just fell short. They gave it everything they got. Where we are now, I mean, there's not a lot to get excited about. We've ridden our luck in all those wins. We could have lost to United. Fernandes missed a penalty. Ronaldo could have had a goal that was onside. The likes, Leeds could have drawn 2-2.
Yeah, but let's be fair, Matt. So have Spurs. Like, Spurs have not been... Spurs have been, you know, they've done exactly the same.
100%. I'm just saying that this Xhaka outburst is... We're not going into the summer going, the feel-good factor's back and we're excited to be building. We're going, where are we? Are we like West Ham? Are we a team on the up and the best young project, or are we like West Ham? And I think it was Perry Groves who said it to you guys when you did the pod. It's probably somewhere in the middle, but make no mistake, we're as close to West Ham as we are Chelsea. You know, we're neither as good as we thought or as bad as we thought, but yeah, it's forced a bit of. We're forced to revise some of our thinking.
Here's a terrible stat for Aaron Ramsdale, for the Ramsdalians. Aaron Ramsdale's pass completion rate from 35 passes was 40%. That's fear. That is fear, nervousness. And at the highest level, do you think Edison has had a 40% pass completion rate in his entire fucking career? It's not good enough.
It isn't. And, you know, I think... I would definitely disagree on the best performance of the season, Pete. Ramsdale's definitely put together...
No. 2022, not the season.
Oh, right. I was going to say, yeah.
Not that insane.
There were some crazy games when he was doing some Nightcrawler shit around the goal, teleporting, which was amazing. But we haven't seen that guy for quite some time. And we've seen a guy who's, you know, been spreading more panic than confidence lately. But, you know, as I said, I honestly don't think there's an area of the pitch anymore. I used to feel a bit more confident, but due to our injury issues as well, which are just, you know, overall, I'm going to always come back to one thing that I really can't let go, because it's so frustrating as a fan when you feel like you haven't put your best foot forward. And that is... when we found ourselves in January in that position, even if it wasn't your plan to go big in January or to, you know, to reinvest in the squad, adapt as you go. You know, look at live pragmatically. Look at the evidence, the empirical evidence in front of you. This is your best opportunity to make top four, and we don't know how long it might be. It might be another 5 years. We might be looking back on this opportunity going, oh my God, I can't believe we didn't just buttress the squad with a couple of extra bodies as much as anything. Good players, of course, but bodies who are going to come in and add competition and give opportunities for rotation. We nearly got over the line with guys that quite frankly aren't really good enough for Arsenal. And we still nearly got over the line just by having some people, you know, adding fresh legs like Eddie towards the end of the season. But I think that all we needed to do was just invest at the time. And it's as much as anything, the mentality not only comes from boardroom level, when you set your intentions out, we are going for top four. That's why we've bought these players. And then the players in the dressing room see that stuff as well and go, oh, hold up, we're really going for this. And they know that they have to start putting in extra shifts. And what it does do is it adds extra bodies in the player tank for when you're getting leggy towards the end of the season. We've got a couple of fresh... Look, at the end of the day, I hate to say it, Spurs have looked like they've done us now, almost definitely have. Kulusevski and what's his name? The Uruguayan guy, Bentancur.
Yeah.
There's no question that they have absolutely turned their season around. So let's not mess about. Of course, the manager's come in and added some steel to the team and got them playing organised, but Kulusevski's made a huge difference and Bentancur has added solidity to their midfield, which was so porous at the start of the season. So, of course, new bodies, new players, new enthusiasm is what gets you over the line and it prevents these stumbling blocks. And I'm so disappointed that we did not put our best foot forward when we had the opportunity.
Well, I think that you'll see in the summer that there is a plan. We will get good players. If we finish the season with 69 points without a proper goal scorer and without any backup in midfield, I think it would indicate that we are going to be better next season. This is the youngest team in the league. It will get better. Like it's not going to be 5 years before we're in the top four. But it does bring me on to this next point, because the Arteta appraisal is now, well, you've made top, you've made fifth this season, but I think we're about to shift up a gear next season with expectations of what is acceptable and what is not. The youngest team in the Premier League will be a year older. He would have spent some serious money in the summer. Is it top four or out next season?
Hey, well, I mean, I'm not.
We have to get top four next season.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to surprise anyone when I say, of course, because I said it was top four or nothing this season. Obviously, I did caveat that with if we had a gallant failure, which I guess this somewhat has gone that way. And obviously, he's got a new contract at this stage. And there are signs of positivity. But no, I'm not interested in just giving this guy endless rope. He has to keep the club moving forward. He spends far too much money and he's had far too much time to just be serving up mediocre results. The fact is all of these players will have had another year to bed in, the ideas to bed in. And of course, there are certain players who need to make a step up now and just build on their promise. I'm thinking Gabby Martinelli. Yeah, great performances and you are exciting, but where are the goals, mate? The end product's not there. And I think that, you know, unfortunately, because Arsenal do this wrong quite a lot, we've now given Arteta the new contract and I don't want to see him kind of rest on his laurels with that new security of having the new contract. I would like the board to be saying in no uncertain terms, we have to make top four or you're back in the shit, basically. Your head will be on the line, because this project cannot take 15 years to come good. You haven't got that long. No one has that long. The fact is, you need to start building those pillars. I'd hoped it would come this year, these pillars of a new era. And the first thing is top four. And then we're not in it just to get top four. We're in this to start challenging for big trophies again. And top four is the first point on that, of course. But that needs to happen like yesterday, because you've had 3 years. Well, he would have had 3 years by then, 3.5 years. And apart from that early FA Cup, we've kind of just, you know, gone up and down. And what I don't want Mikel Arteta to be as a prospect of a manager is a consistently inconsistent manager. One where we will have some highs, but we will always have lows as well that take us back to a median level, which is not good enough for Arsenal.
Makandela, Mikel Arteta, next season, what does he have to do to win your heart again?
He's got to get top four. Like I said, the biggest, most painful thing is that this doesn't feel like gallant failure right now. Like, and it could have, and maybe in time it will, but just the nature of how it's come about. And I know we won those games against United and Chelsea, but of all the games to lose against Brighton, Southampton, Palace, Newcastle, Liverpool, Liverpool's fine. We lost five of our last nine games in the league. You know, that's mid-table form. That's not even mid-table form. You know, that's trying to escape relegation form. And the teams we beat have masked it a little bit, but I don't feel a sense of gallant failure, which is sort of the sad thing. Maybe we will in a week's time when we lose out by a point or whatever it is, and we can look at it in a different way. But that's the way it feels now, and that's really my abiding memory. There's something about really going for it and falling short, but you still feel enormously proud of the team. And yeah, I guess we should be proud of the young players and the team that they put in. But even that, I find it a little bit difficult to say. Not because I don't have respect for them and the job they've done this season, but they don't feel special when you see performances like that. They feel like any team in the league could be playing those young players and they'd be losing 5 out of 9, and whatever the young players were. So we'll see how it pans out. A real damp squib, as someone said. That just about sums it up. But I think the goal for next season, top four. I mean, I was thinking this the other day, and I don't want to be revisionist. I think the Europa League is going to be better for our squad because we can play our squad players, the Omari Hutchinsons, the Charlie Patinos and all that, in those games and blood them in the group stages in a way that you can't do in the Champions League. I think that as a club, we lack ambition from top to bottom. You know, I think that's just a fact. I think we do. We've just got used to it, and we've tried to. We use new terminologies and projects and revisionism. But fundamentally, we lack ambition in the way that Spurs have a lot more ambition than us.
No,
it doesn't. It pains me to say it.
That's too far.
They do. They do. No, it's not. Short-termism. They do. They do. We don't.
You watch that unravel. That's we spent 150 million in the summer. What do you mean we lack ambition? No one spent more than that.
To be honest, Pete, I mean, it's not to say I'm in 100% agree.
I'm not saying it because I like it.
I know why you say it, Matt. And at the end of the day, when they needed to, they went out and got a big boy manager who you may say about him being short-term fix. And I get that, Pete. But the fact is, he's a proven winner. He's come in and he looks like he's turned a struggling Spurs team around. And they've picked us in a year when we had no European football. And they invested in January. And as I've said, they brought in two quality players who've gone straight into their first team and got over the line. So, you know, this is all while they're in a stadium that they're still paying off. Those years we used to have to sell our best player. This was our opportunity to really hurt them, to set them back. And they put their best foot forward. And that's why it's just such a... It feels like such a missed opportunity this year that we didn't hurt them when we had
and if
the
Conte goes, if Conte goes, they just get Graham Potter, they get Potterin, they get they get to go again. So
here's what's going to happen with Spurs if they get top four. You saw how Harry Kane and Son played against Burnley, they were absolutely shocking. They've had no injuries this season, their third top goal scorer has been own goal. They've got all of the luck, like all season. It's been painful to watch. And you two celebrating what Spurs are doing, I think there is going to be so much egg on Spurs' face next season because they're not going to get that luck ever again. Conte always struggles when he has to play three games a week. And when you're in the Champions League, you have to play your first team. And they do not have the money to give Conte what he needs. And like Spurs will be lucky if they make 60 points next season. You watch it. You watch it. It's all going to unravel there. And then we're going to be looking at the youngest squad in the Premier League that we'll add a striker to. We'll add a world-class midfielder to. Like we're already looking at filling in this Hickey kid who could play left and right back. We'll get rid of Rob Holding. There will be a real effort this summer. And then we'll come December, you'll be looking at Arsenal and you'll be saying, yes, we got the plan right. It might hurt right now, but saying Spurs are showing more ambition, they are doing dumb things that will have long-term consequences, even if there is a short-term hit of sugar.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, and I'm certainly not celebrating their successes at all. Like, fuck Tottenham Hotspur. Let's never forget that.
Get back on that train.
You know, the fact is, though, is like, I don't care what they're doing. I care about what we're doing.
Yes.
And I care about the fact that we didn't give ourselves our best chance. That will always be the thing that hurts me the most in terms of as an Arsenal fan. I don't mind us not winning, but us not trying, I will not accept ever. For as long as I live, I will not accept it from Arsenal. And we will have to go for the win all the time, or I'm not happy as an Arsenal fan. We might not always get there, but we absolutely have to be trying to achieve top success. We want to be the best club in the world. And if the moment we stop doing that, I don't know why we're bothering watching this shit anymore. Honestly, I know we can't always win, and it's way it is. But for me, I just think that we need, you know, and let's be clear, by the way, on Arteta. It's not about kind of being revisionist or whatever. It's quite clear for me with Arteta. I've not always been his biggest fan. I think there were certain improvements, but let's be honest, we don't score enough goals. There are still issues at play here. There's a strong argument for that might be somewhat eradicated by having
a proper striker.
And I've got time for that argument. I don't think it's as clean cut as that, though. I do think that we're going to have to start adapting the way that we play somewhat. But I do think that a lot of it gets mended with proper strikers. But Arteta we need to be scoring a lot more goals, because you would always rather have that attacking flair as your strong point, rather than just being defensively sound. Because at some point, you're going to have to go out and win games. And you can't win games just by being defensively good.
But you know what I mean? But Johnny, we're not defensively good. We're terrible.
Exactly. It's crumbled away anyway.
We could concede 47 goals this season. It's been absolutely atrocious. I think that adding a proper striker into the mixer with, you know, like Saka and Martin Ødegaard are top five in the league for chance creation. So I think when you add a proper striker into the mix, like you're going to see output. If you have somebody that can actually step in for Thomas Partey, that's 3 points right there that we didn't have last season. But my big worry is like our best right back is injury prone and our best left back is injury prone. And I don't know how you get around that. Like that's not going to change next season. And you're not going to bring in another like two players at the level of Tierney and Tomiyasu. Like I don't know how you get around having injury prone fullbacks, and it's also difficult to get around knowing that Thomas Partey is going to be out 60-70% of a season.
Do you know another thing as well? Yeah. When you try to appraise, when one tries to appraise a season like this, we will often stick our optimistic hat on and we will take next season as a base rate of what we've already done and look to how we can improve on it. We're not really factoring in, you know, the ideas that some players who did okay this year might regress. For instance, Smith Rowe has scored double figures in the Premier League. He might not be able to get that next year. You know, we're assuming that, oh yeah, him and Saka will just get 15 next year. And some of these guys might go backwards. We might be a lot further away from our goals than what this year might suggest. That's why it feels like a double blow. We need to be planning. When people say we should be going for third next year, we should absolutely be going for third. Chelsea are all over the gaff anyway. You know, they might even get thrown out of the Champions League if Abramovich doesn't do the deal as well. We'll see what happens. But there's no reason why we're not looking at Man United, Chelsea, Tottenham, all of them. You're all up for grabs. And quite frankly, if you fuck up and let United back at us, Tottenham back at us, you know, and Chelsea to do us as well, then Arteta Edu, anyone who's got their fingers in the till, making decisions, your job's on the line. I think everyone, that is decision time now.
I would say if you looked at the evidence of players that have got 10 goals and assists under 23, they almost always get better. So I wouldn't worry about players not coming. I'd be more worried about players that we thought would come on this season that haven't, still don't. Is Martinelli just not that good in front of goal? Those are the bigger concerns that I have. Not that, like, are Saka and ESR the real deal? I think they're the real deal. I'm more concerned about players like Martinelli not stepping up than those two, because young players get better they're elite of the elite. Sorry, Matt.
Look, I think the whole point of on the whistle Arsenal opinion is that, you know, there's definitely we're in the heat of the battle. And I think one of the great things about this community is we see a whole host of different comments. And we don't know. We've got no idea what's going to happen next season. We've actually got very little idea of whether things are, what things are like behind the scenes as much as anything, because, you know, you can hear that everything's great and then you hear Xhaka coming out like that and it just seems bizarre to me to be making these proclamations in public in an interview. But again, it's just...
You don't like that Xhaka comment, do you? You do not like that Xhaka comment. That's riled you.
No, I don't like it. I don't think... I think he's just covering his own ass. And, you know, you're supposed to be one of the leaders of this team and now you're throwing everyone under the bus? No, absolutely not.
When Mo Elneny made the most progressive passes... Today, Mo Elneny made 35.
Well,
he was the brave one.
Well, I've liked Elneny's come on. He's been quite good. Sorry, Matt, cutting you off.
Yeah, that's a spat sign, isn't it? When Elneny's our star player, but I don't think we know what we're going to get. Are we going to get a decent transfer window like last year, or are we going to get a window like the one before? Are we going to get the quality of players and the quantity of players that we're all dreaming of? Because history tells us we're not. We never get as much. Arteta, when asked about January, said we did what our resources allowed us to do, which sounded like a bit of a thinly veiled dig at the Kroenkes and at management, if you ask me. I think we're just going to have to find out what the hell happened. But we need to change the way we're doing things. We need to up the level of ambition. I don't think that a summer of Tielemans, Jesus and Hickey gets us to the next level. I think we need more than that. I think we need more than that.
I do as well.
I don't think we're going to get more than that. But I think that could get you top four. But what are we trying to do here? Are we trying to like really build and really grow? Because I don't know. I'm just not that. Even if we got those three players... That doesn't excite me that much, to be honest.
The plan is top four next season, compete for the league the season after with the big flashy signings. All right. So listen, we've gone through it. I love that the comments have been largely positive. Like a lot of upset, but like people are being pragmatic here. I think we owe it to the people that are listening. We're sending these people out into the world tomorrow. So we need to end on a high. We need to give, like, there's got to be some semblance of positivity. Like, even if you're stretching, even if you're faking it, just, you know, when I used to be terrible at football, my dad said, you weren't that bad. That sent me off into the week. He was a liar. Johnny, how are you going to send Arsenal's rubbish season into the wild looking a little bit positive? What's the bow that you can find? Make people feel better.
A two-pronged approach I'll probably employ then. I'll firstly say, even though there's a yin and yang to this, it has felt good to be back in the conversations again, you know, back in crunch time football, and to feel like we had our fate in our own hands again. And, you know, to be eating at the top table, well, a chance to eat at the top table. Obviously, the yang to that is that, yeah, great to have an opportunity and we fluffed it and we've had misery again. And there's no hope that there's no guarantee that we will have made those landmark strides forward that mean that we're going to be pushing further up the table and closer to our goals, as opposed to maybe regressing again next year because we find new problems to plague us. But the other one, which I'll say, which, you know, is a bit of gallows humour, is it's nearly over. Because I don't think we can take much more of this anyway. And, you know, at the end of the day, do you know what? Look, let's be really frank about it, actually. The biggest positive is that this is the most united the fan base has been in a very, very long time. And I think that even a lot of people who back Arteta understand that he's still not proven everything yet. And he's still got a way to go to convince everyone that he is the right man to reign over a successful era. He has clearly shown, as far as I'm concerned, that he's not shit. He's not awful. He's obviously got talent, but you have to get people over the line and you are your decisions. And he, as part of the leadership team at Arsenal, made decisions to not recruit in January. He takes some blame for that. He's made decisions with personnel, certain players that he's left out the team. He takes the rap for that. You know, and at the end of the day, you finish where you deserve to finish. And if we're in a year where we had less games than all of our rivals, if we come up short, then guess what? He's got to take the flak for that. And next season is completely do or die. And if we're looking like we're not going to get there and a good manager becomes available, he might not see it through the year. Because that's how football can move sometimes. So I'd overall say that the fact is that the fan base seems to be on the same page and we seem to all be pulling in the same direction again. The crowd in the stadium seems to, you know, the atmosphere seems positive. And I'm at least more positive that we're trying somewhat to get our shit together as a football club. I still think we've got huge steps forward to make, including, you know, being able to be agile enough to adapt when we see opportunities to bridge the gap. But, you know, we should not be accepting mediocrity. We are a top football club. We need to act like it. And at this stage, there's no more space for excuses. We've got to start making serious progress, not just a couple of young players looking decent.
Well, Johnny, that was lovely. And that's made me feel a little bit better. My tank of optimism is now half empty. Matt, can you make it half full?
Look, I agree with a lot of what Johnny said. I was at the West Ham away game. It was just amazing to see how connected the fans were. It's one of the best away atmospheres I can remember in 25 plus years of going and seeing Arsenal away, traveling the country. I was singing that We've Got Super Mick Arteta's song all day, every day for the next 2 weeks. And really, the wheels came off last Thursday. It was too much for the team. It just was too much for the team, maybe too much for the coach, but just too much. And so my hope is that we recognize that it was too much, that we realize that we need to make significant additions. We need to change things if we don't want to fall short again. My hope is that the pain that no doubt the team are feeling right now, the bitter disappointment of having come so close and then fallen short to Spurs is something that drives them on next season. And it's something that they say they don't want to feel like this ever again. And I think if we can use it as fuel, then, you know, that's it. We have to take this moment and use it as a force for positivity. And I believe we can. I believe that Arteta is learning. I believe that he's a better coach now than he was 6 months ago, 8 months ago. I think he's realised that empathy and compassion are important. He's certainly been giving signs that he's certainly less transactional in the way that he talks about the team and he bigs them up and all that stuff. So there are positives, and look, we're all just a bit hurt at the moment. We're all a bit sad. But then one further thing is, and this isn't just total wishful thinking. Go out there on Sunday. forget what Tottenham do. Forget it. But put on a show for the team and the crowd at the Emirates in the sunshine. As Austin would say, take the handbrake off. Go and absolutely batter them. And then everyone at the Emirates needs to give them a round of applause and do a lap of honour. We need to lick our wounds now and come back stronger than ever in the summer. And you never know. You never, never know. Lasagna could always strike again. 1% chance, 0.5% chance. But football, it's a funny old game. So we move on.
Great. And now I'm half full. And
we're going to win.
We're going to win the league. I think that you got to take the positives out of it. We had the worst start in Premier League history. We could end the season with 69 points. That's 1 point shy of where Champions League football is. Arteta is a ruthless fucker. I think that he might fast forward some decisions that he would have made the season after. So I think we'll see an aggressive move to get those players that are mediocre out of the club. And then I think the path forward is very, very clear. I think they'll look back over the season and go, like, what went wrong? Like, firstly, we didn't use our squad properly. We're definitely going to use our squad in a more adept way next year. We didn't have a goal scorer that was adequate for the modern age. I think that we've got a good young goal scorer in Eddie as a second striker, but I think they're going to add top, top quality up front. And we've got a lot of money to spend this summer where other clubs don't. And I think that we'll get a good striker. I think that we're going to rebuild that midfield because it's not really fit for purpose. I don't think Mo Elneny is the problem. I think it's that we're very reliant on Granit Xhaka, and he, you know, decent player, but not where the standard is going to be. And young players get better. The youngest team in the Premier League just got 69, is close to getting 69 points. I think there's a lot of opportunity to progress. And I still think that there isn't a better project in Europe for young players to be at. And I think that's going to pay dividends in the summer. So it feels horrible right now. We've absolutely flunked at the tail end of the season. But there are lessons to learn. And I think the path forward is very clear. And I think in December time, I think we're going to be looking at a really good side. And I think we're going to be happy with where we've landed. And glad that we didn't sign Wout Weghorst in January. So I think that we can end on that note. Johnny Cochran.
I would say as well, ended on a high, just football-based. But, well, two things. First of all, here's a high. If we beat Everton, there's a good chance we could relegate them. And they're a scummy little outfit. Frank Lampard, exactly. Get him back down. He's a shit manager. I'm sick of him getting jobs.
Yeah.
Let's get Frank Lampard's little pudgy face with tears running down it. That's what I want to see. Everton down. They've just been called out for racially abusing Ivan Toney's family and Rico Henry's family. So their fan base deserves the misery. Get them out of the league. Get them getting Jazzy Jeffed out the Premier League. Straight down there. You don't deserve it. Horrible mugs. Let Arsenal, end on a high for us by relegating Everton. And also, a very notable story today. Jake Daniels, I believe his name is, a player at Blackpool, has come out as the first openly gay football player in the UK since Justin Fashanu. And that's great. You know, it's worth on a publication like this to acknowledge, and support Jake and any other, players who might be in that situation. It's, been conspicuous by his absence that we haven't had any openly gay football players and players who obviously don't feel that they are confident enough to come out in this day and age and deal with some of the abuse that they might face. And I think the only way that we can help give these players confidence is to come down extremely hard on any instances of homophobia that we might see in and around the ground. Football's for everyone, and we should be promoting that so everyone feels that they can feel free to be themselves and play the game that we all love.
Beautiful sentiment to end on there, Johnny. I totally agree with you. What a brilliant decision. And hopefully he is the inspiration to thousands of kids all around the world that football is for them and that we don't tolerate the bullshit that goes on in some stadiums. Before we go, I just want to say thank you to everybody that followed along. I know that it's been a painful evening, but we love your contributions. Some really smart thinking out there. And we're glad that you shared your post-match rage with us. the podcast is doing really well. We're doing so well in the charts. It's actually kind of crazy. Thank you for coming along. We're going to be going all summer long. And just to put you in the loop, we are going to start a Patreon. More details about that soon, but we're going to put the previews on Patreon. We're going to do some watch-alongs. And Johnny and Matt are going to join the editorial team, and they're going to have special email letters that go out. They're both good writers, so that should be absolutely brilliant next season. So thank you for joining us all season. I know it's been a bit of a painful win, but we are on the march to better. Arsenal is going to be back at the very top over the next couple of years. So hopefully you can all join us on the ascension. Jump on the Arsenal rocket ship. On that note, we'll say ciao for now.
Social Podcast Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.